Princess Celestia the Changeling Queen, Chapter 19, Twilight Time. Research can be a terrible, terrible chore, and no pony knows that better than Twilight Sparkle. Most students know that if the subject in question has plentiful amounts of material on it, then research becomes more of a task of choosing the right resources rather than a quest for information. This can be pretty tedious, but at least there's material to choose from. Lazy students dream of choosing a subject that only has one or two reputable sources. That way, they only need to thoroughly read that one book to write their paper. For these lackwits, it's hard enough to even look for sources, much less choose one. Unfortunately, there is also a rare case where the topic a student has chosen has literally no reputable sources, and the few sources one does have are fairy tales. Twilight was in this situation right now, with her research into changelings. Since her brother's wedding, Twilight had been tasked with trying to write a handbook on changelings. It would be published after the peace treaty and would attempt to dispel most of the myths that surrounded the mysterious race. However, good sources were so lacking that a children's storybook offered more information than an academic text. It all combined to make her efforts on changeling research extraordinarily taxing. On this warm, sunny day, Twilight was nearly at the end of her rope. She'd been trying to figure out how, essentially, changelings change into ponies. Twilight had a few guesses, but her own experience with changelings had been so limited that she couldn't draw any conclusions.
Twilight, it's a letter from the princess!
Called Spike from the kitchen area. In an instant, the librarian pulled her head out from the book that she was buried in, her dour expression wiped away by a smile.
Thanks, Spike.
The unicorn eagerly levitated the letter from her assistant's claws to her desk, and unfurled it, before glancing at the dragon.
Do you want to know what it says?
Spike nodded enthusiastically, drawing a smile to Twilight's lips as she opened the scroll. Recently, Alternia and Twilight had started to correspond almost daily. The habit had initially started with Twilight sending inquiries regarding her research on changelings, and the princess replying with answers and updating Twilight on the situation at Camp Draco. The exchange of regular letters was something that Twilight and Alternia had promised to do since their understanding in the ruins of the Everfree Hive. When they first started, their letters had stuck to a formal tone, but it wasn't long after before the letters had gained more of a playful and friendly nature. But once in a while, there came a letter that was of a deadly serious tone. As Twilight began to read, her brow began to knit closer together, and her grip on the paper tightened.
Dear Twilight, I'm sorry that it has been a while since my last letter. As of late, things have taken a turn for the worse. I mentioned in my last letter 2 days ago that Queen Crystalis was nearly assassinated by a group of dissident ponies. By now, the news has spread throughout Equestria, and if your reports and those of my ministers correlate, we are seeing some increased sympathy for the changelings.
Twilight nodded. She was no stranger to how the Crown could influence news coverage across Equestria. Her mentor tried to exert it as little as possible, but she knew that sometimes it was necessary. After all, Twilight knew that it was due to Alternia's application of influence that last year's Grand Galloping Gala was passed off as a comedy moment, rather than a possible socio-political scandal. With sympathetic newspaper coverage of the assassination attempt and the widespread condemnation of the dastardly and cowardly insurgents, a lot of ponies were actually beginning to see the changelings as something other than fearful monsters and deceivers. This was a very welcome change, since it led to a decrease in requests for Twilight to perform identity checks on Ponyville citizens. That of which allowed the unicorn to focus more time on researching the changelings themselves.
The problem is that Crystalis hasn't reacted well to the assassination attempt at all, and it shows in the negotiations. Nearly every day she demands that Luna and I punish the would-be assassins in ways that would cause most ponies to faint. She also ceased attending any of the social functions or even relaxing sessions that Cadence organizes, preferring to just stay in her stateroom. Not only that, but it appears young Lamia has been discouraged from talking to us and she's been more reserved than usual. This has all been making our interactions rather tense of late.
Twilight frowned. This wasn't good. She read on, hoping that her mentor would be able to think of a clever solution to the problem soon.
I suppose I have to look on the bright side of things. I have managed to partially appease Crystalis's demands, so her hostility is not focused solely on me. She's been prickly to every pony at the conference, even her own chevaliers, but especially with our guards. We found out that due to a report from your brother's guard patrols that described Crystalis shooing them out of what is now becoming rapidly known as the Changeling Compound, a quick interview with some of the other royal guards and General Hannibal's newly arrived Equestrian Foreign Legion only confirms that Crystalis is wary of social interaction between our two forces outside of base defense. It is a shame, because we have been seeing some chevaliers and guards ponies getting along prior to the assassination attempt. Lamia apologized later and explained that her mother was simply worried for her subjects. She's certainly not happy about it, though, so I've told her not to do anything rash. I hope that she'll listen to me. Perhaps the pony, or should I say changeling, affected by this the worst is Syndra. The poor dear has been inconsolable. Given her rejection by her own mother, I am not surprised. Attempts where she tried to approach other changelings have led them to awkwardly finding excuses to stay away from her. I suspect Chrysalis's involvement, though I have no proof, and neither do I have the right to criticize her orders. So I have stayed out of this affair for now, aware that I might have to play the role of mediator in the future. But onto a more cheerful topic. You asked in your last letter whether changelings could change their magical affinity, and whether this allows them to take the form and traits of earth ponies, pegasi, and unicorns?
A smile quickly formed on Twilight's features. Although Twilight was saddened that Alternia couldn't solve the problem that she had run into with Chrysalis, she was brightened by the fact that her research question had an answer.
The truth is, changelings cannot change their magical affinity. A changeling impersonating a Pegasus will never fly as fast as the Pegasus it is impersonating, and vice versa for unicorns and earth ponies. This is because changelings are changelings. They have a malleable form, but it is bound to a default changeling form. The ability to impersonate, to an extent, the various magical affinities of various pony races is a gift that changelings have, but they can't change their own affinity. It's why the color of Chrysalis' spells appeared as green. You might wonder, how is that my magic is colored gold when it's supposed to be green like a changeling queen's? The answer lies in the spells that I have placed on my crown. While a changeling cannot change his or her own affinity, with great efforts, skilled infiltrators can disguise it, but they would rather not as it would decrease the effectiveness of their spellcasting. However, my crown is permanently enchanted to overlay an illusion so that my magic appears gold when it in fact is green. If you are further interested, you may find the notes to the actual enchantment attached to the scroll. I think you would be rather interested in the practical applications, as well as the spells that can be derived from the formulas. I'm afraid that I must now return to my duties. I eagerly await your reply. Yours sincerely, Princess Celestia.
Well, that answers a question I've had for a while,
said Twilight.
It doesn't really help us with finding more about changelings, though, but what is this?
Asked Spike, pointing at the end of the letter. Twilight blinked and read out the small postscript at the very bottom of the scroll.
P.S. If you are having difficulty with your research, my faithful students, my suggestion to you is to try looking for changelings through different eyes. Do not only restrict yourself to the eyes of ponies.
And as always, she gives advice in mysterious fashion. Why do you?
Twilight shushed her assistant and fixed him with a glare. Spike immediately got the hint and pressed his lips together.
I mean, why does the princess always have to be so cryptic?
Amended the Drake.
Well, Spike, I think Celestia's always had a good reason for whatever she does. We should know that now more than ever,
said Twilight.
I know, but it's still frustrating,
whined Spike. Twilight chuckled and rubbed her assistant's head with her hoof, in an endearing fashion.
Actually, Celestia's been far less cryptic than usual this time. In fact, I think I've figured out what she means.
Spike's brow rose and furrowed.
Really?
Yes. If you do a clause-by-clause analysis and compare the register of the riddle with the other words the princess has given...
Twilight, can you, simplify a bit?
Asked Spike, cutting Twilight off before she embarked on a lecture that would drive an old university professor mad. The unicorn's cheeks reddened slightly before she cleared her throat.
Basically, she just wants us to try to look for changelings not only through the perspective of ponies. I think she's suggesting that we research the lore and the works of other species.
Oh, so she's saying that we should see if other species might know more about changelings,
said Spike.
Exactly, Spike. Now let's start by looking through the Griffin Sonnet section.
The facts are coming together, but hopefully it isn't for nothing. But then again, if you know more about anything, it's hardly a loss. Anyways, let's get on to our sneaky donators. Top donators are 630, Peter Coldhard, Jaytin Man, Darkseid, and Only One Thing, TacoCat598, Raiden, Narwhals, Black Moonheart, Pastel Skies, Austin Rollins, CrazyKiller557, Stu Hex, Will, Omicron Lyre, Chris, Twinkie, Dosbo, Delta Omega, Jack Hedge, RuneScythe9852, Madman Stan, Leslie Prickett, Drake Lovedragon, Hunter Norman, Steven Bingham, Landgat12, Sorcerer Constantine, Hudzaza, Convair, and many more amazing people. Thank you all so much for watching this video and live life to the fullest.